Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Mary Lou Holly, who's serving as our worship associate, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, and the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent Choir.
Today we light the chalice for Devin Conwell, a student from Roosevelt who passed away at age 15 this week. This quote is from John Green's book called Looking for Alaska. Thomas Edison's last words were, "It's very beautiful over there. I don't know where there is, but I believe it's somewhere, and I hope it's beautiful."
To look at anything, if you would know that thing, you must look at it long. To look at this green and say, "I have seen green in these woods," will not do. You must be the thing you see. You must be the dark snakes of stems and ferny plumes of leaves. You must enter in to the small silences between the leaves. You must take your time and touch the very peace they issue from. Come, let us touch peace. Come, let us worship together.
It's been such a difficult week with tragedy on top of confusion, on top of fear, on top of chaos, our attention shifting between Massachusetts and Texas and Washington, D.C. and home and all around again. And so this morning, to lead us into a time of silence and meditation, I invite you to reflect upon these words from the Terma Collective, which is a collective of artists and poets. This is a prayer for all of us. May our eyes remain open even in the face of tragedy. May we not become disheartened. May we find in the dissolution of our apathy and denial the cup of the broken heart. May we discover the gift of fire burning in the inner chamber of our being, burning great and bright enough to transform any poison. May we offer the power of our sorrow to the service of something greater than ourselves. May our guilt not rise up to form yet another defensive wall. May the suffering purify and not paralyze us. May we endure. May sorrow bond us and not separate us. May we realize the greatness of our sorrow and not run from its touch or flame. May clarity be our ally and wisdom our support. May our wrath be cleansing, cutting through the confusion of denial and greed. May we not be afraid to see or speak our truth. May the bleakness of the wasteland be dispelled. May the soul's journey be revealed and the true hunger fed. May we be forgiven for what we have forgotten and blessed with the remembrance of who we really are. And now we'll keep silence for a few moments together. I invite you to join together in a guided meditation. Sometimes when things seem out of control, one of the best things we can do is touch back to the sources of nourishment and gratitude in our own lives. And so this is a guided meditation of gratitude. So please make yourselves comfortable, if you will. Put your feet on the floor. Rest your hands open in your lap. You might like to close your eyes, or if not, just soften your gaze. And just notice your breath. And now see if you can lengthen your breath just a little bit. Breathe in a little bit more deeply. Breathe out a little bit more slowly. And remember the most recent meal you have eaten. If you made that meal yourself, offer thanks for the opportunity to eat. And if someone else made that meal for you, offer thanks for their efforts. If you ate that meal alone, offer thanks for the opportunity to have the space, time, and place to sit and simply eat. And if you ate that meal with someone else, give thanks for that person or those people in your life. And now look, if you will, in your mind's eye into the bowl or the plate. And notice each ingredient that contributed to your meal. Did you grow those ingredients yourself? If you did, give thanks for the garden, the earth, that sustained you. And if you didn't, follow those ingredients backwards in time. To the store, perhaps, where you purchased them. To the people who placed those ingredients on the shelves, give thanks for them. To the truck drivers and train drivers who brought those ingredients to the store, give thanks for them. And back to the place where those ingredients were raised, to the farm, give thanks for the farmers, for the vegetables and the animals who contributed to your meal. Call them into your mind and offer them your thanks. And further back now to the earth, which supports the animals and the fruits and the vegetables. The land, the rain, the sun, this earth spinning around, the cycles of nature, the passage of time. Each of these contributed to the meal you ate most recently. As widely as you can, hold that expanse in your hearts and offer your thanks. May we remember today and every day that we have been abundantly blessed. And as you're ready, return your attention to this time and this space. Gratitude now for this opportunity to be together.
The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish together with the earth. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant.
Before Ramachandra Rout took his own life, he composed a letter choosing quality paper, explaining his reasons for his suicide. He addressed his letter to the Prime Minister and President of India, his own village head, the local police, and a few others. The reason he was committing suicide, he explained, was because he was overwhelmed with insurmountable debt. After two successive years of crop failures, he could see no way to pay the bank the money that he owed, and already bank employees had been twice coming to recover their money. He could see no other way out. Ramachandra Rout's experience is horrifyingly common. According to a report issued from the New York University School of Law Center for Human Rights and Global Justice, more than 250,000 Indian farmers have committed suicide in the last 16 years. That figure translates to approximately one farmer suicide in India every 30 minutes. Why is this happening? There are so many contributing factors, but chief among them are the economic reforms in India, which opened the country to global markets in the last two decades. In that space have come multinational seed companies like Monsanto, who have done an incredible job marketing genetically modified seeds, which they promise farmers will increase their yield. In fact, those seeds have consistently decreased yields while dramatically increasing costs to rural farmers. Take one of the biggest sellers, for example, cottonseed. The genetically modified cotton seeds require much more water than most Indian farmers have access to. Most farmers in India have to rely on rain to water their crops. The lack of access to irrigation water, coupled with droughts, has meant widespread crop failures. Not only that, when the crops do succeed, farmers have not been able to save seeds from year to year because the genetically modified seeds have a technology built into them which kills the seeds before they come to maturity, so they cannot be saved. Farmers thus have to buy new seed every year, and the cost has been crushing debt. The primary method that farmers use to commit suicide in India is the ingestion of the pesticides that they have purchased from the seed companies to tend the genetically modified seed. This is not only an agricultural crisis, this is also a human crisis, one that affects us all, as India is a great exporter of cotton. There are so many crises to worry us. Take just one more, lest we overwhelm ourselves this morning. Just one more story. This one from the Amazonian rainforest. The forest and the Amazon have been called the lungs of the planet. They produce 20% of the world's oxygen and play an essential role in soaking up carbon dioxide. The trees in the rainforest are kind of like a sponge which work to absorb excess carbon in the atmosphere, thereby helping to keep the planet cooler. The rainforests are also the location of over two-thirds of the world's fresh water. Not only that, they're among the most biodiverse places on the planet. Take the tropical rainforest in the Yasuni Park in Ecuador, for example. The Yasuni has more tree species in just 2.5 acres than in all of the United States and Canada combined. It also has more frogs and toads than all of North America combined, the greatest bird diversity on Earth, and the highest tree, shrub, and vine density on Earth. In total, some 170 mammals, 560 fish, 300 different reptiles and amphibians, and the fifth largest bat reserve in the world make their home in the Yasuni. Included among them are over 130 globally threatened species like the giant white otter and the golden-mantled tamarin, and at least two Warani clans who avoid contact with the modern world. This one park in Ecuador is a jewel in a crown of jewels. And yet this one park, like so many other tropical rainforests, are facing extraordinary threats. On one side of the park, the Yasuni is threatened by clear cutting for banana and palm oil plantations, pasture land, and logging. On the other side of the park, it's being threatened by the specter of oil drilling because the Yasuni sits atop 20% of Ecuador's untapped oil preserves. I fear for the consequences of the destruction to all of us if the clear-cutting and drilling in the rainforests are not stopped. All of us will suffer the consequences of disrupted global water cycles, loss of biodiversity, and increased rates of climate change. Not only will we suffer, but so will future generations. The environmental trouble on the planet is great and growing. That's no news to any of us. And yet, so rarely do we take the time to stop and truly consider the impact, the severity, and the scope of the crisis we face. Earth Day is a good day to do that, a good day to remind ourselves. And so I invite you now to call into your own mind the environmental problems that worry you most for yourself and for future generations.
I'm throwing stuff away when there is no way. The air that we breathe.
Multinational corporations.
Nations. High rates of cancer.
Limited recycling.
The influence of food corporations stopping us learning what a real healthy diet is.
There are so many crises to worry us, but let us remember the prayer from the Terma Collective we hold earlier, and let ourselves find a way to hold these concerns prayerfully, lest they paralyze us. Instead, let them empower us. I invite you to hold them in your hearts, all of these concerns we have heard.
We who have lost our sense and our senses, our touch, our smell, our vision of who we are, we who frantically force and press all things without rest for body or spirit, hurting our earth and injuring ourselves, we call a halt. We want to rest. We need to rest and allow the earth to rest. We need to reflect and to rediscover the mystery that lives in us, that is the ground of every unique expression of life, the source of the fascination that calls all things to communion. We declare a Sabbath, a space of quiet, for simple being and letting be, for recovering the great forgotten truths, for learning how to live again.
There's trouble, it's true, but there's also hope. We can learn how to live again. Like other places in South America, Ecuador is learning how to live again, and they have great things to teach us. Ecuador is home to a large number of indigenous people who honor an earth deity known as Pachamama. Drawing on native wisdom, which promotes a concept called living well, Ecuador in 2007 rewrote its constitution to recognize the rights of nature. Living well supports the rights of nature because it refers to developing in harmony with nature, respecting human rights, satisfying basic needs for all, and living in balance. The new Ecuadorian constitution was ratified by the people in 2008. The protections for nature the constitution affords means that trees, animals, rivers, and entire ecosystems are recognized by the constitution as having rights, specifically the rights to exist, persist, maintain, and regenerate their vital cycles. It also means that people acting as guardians of nature can file suit on behalf of nature when nature has been damaged. The first case testing these rights went to court in 2010. The lawsuit was filed by a couple who lived on the banks of the Vilcabamba River. They alleged that the government was dumping refuse and debris into the river as part of a road construction project they were doing nearby. The dumping into the river changed the river's width and velocity, thereby causing flooding on adjacent land. Instead of suing for property damage, this couple decided to test the laws in the new constitution. So they sued on behalf of the river. The court that heard the case ruled on behalf of the river and ordered the government to repair the damage. Isn't that incredible? Can you imagine that? A court of law ruling on behalf of a river. More hopeful news from Ecuador comes in the Yasuni Park proposal. Recognizing that the impact of the drilling in the Yasuni rainforest would have negative environmental consequences not only for the people of Ecuador, but for the whole planet, the Ecuadorian government has offered not to drill in the Yasuni for oil if the global community will compensate them half the value of the reserves. To date, several countries and multinational corporations have pledged $300 million. That's still substantially less than the $3.6 billion the Ecuadorian government is seeking, but it's a start and the campaign is growing. In fact, it's now been opened more broadly than governments and companies, and any individual can go online and make a contribution to offset drilling in the Yasuni. If enough money is raised to prevent drilling, the results will benefit many Ecuadorians with the money invested in many projects that are already lined up. They're not funded yet because the project is still ongoing to raise the funds, but they have set in motion what they will fund if they're able to avoid drilling, and these include several hydroelectric, solar, and geothermal projects, among others. The results will benefit all of us and future generations who rely on the health of the Amazon for the health of the planet. Another story of hope. This one back to India in response to the farmer suicide epidemic. Navdanya means nine seeds and also a new gift. Navdanya is a network of seed keepers and organic producers across 17 states in India. They have set up 111 community seed banks and trained hundreds of thousands of farmers in seed sovereignty and sustainable agriculture over the last two decades. Their efforts have resulted in the conservation of over 3,000 varieties of rice from all over the country, including varieties of indigenous rice, which have adapted to the unique conditions of local regions over many, many years. They have also conserved over 75 varieties of wheat and hundreds of millets, pulses, oil seeds, vegetables, and more. Navdanya sees their work as promoting not only dignity and self-reliance for Indian farmers, but also seed sovereignty, food security, and agricultural biodiversity. What's more, Navdanya looks for and conserves seeds which helps farmers deal with the impact of climate instability. They have conserved seeds which are saline resistant, and they promote these to people who live in coastal regions that are susceptible to cyclones and tsunamis. They've conserved seeds that are drought resistant, and they promote those who live in interior regions that are especially susceptible to drought. They've conserved seeds that are flood resistant, and they promote those to people living along river plains that regularly experience flooding from severe weather. With something as simple as seeds, Navdanya is contributing to the recovery of both Earth and her people from the ecological and human damage caused by genetically modified seeds, among other causes. Both of these stories are powerful actions of sustainability in action. Sustainability has to do with the careful use of finite resources and decision-making which values both the present and future generations. Sustainability refers to the place where four pillars come together: economics, environment, equity, and culture. It's the process whereby our respect for the web of life, our commitment to justice and equity, and our commitment to human rights for all people come together with respect both for the commonalities and for the differences among us. So I've shared just a couple of stories this morning, but there are, of course, many more stories of sustainability in action, so many more stories of hope. We need to seek these stories out and lift them up. They are an antidote to despair. We need to find these stories and be a part of these stories in our own local communities. There is hope, and now more than ever, we need to find it and let it inspire us to create new pathways to a sustainable future. And so I invite you now to call to mind the stories of hope which give you courage and strength to be a part of the future that we dream. And if you will, go ahead and call out a couple of those stories, sources of hope.
Urban Farm Cooperative.
The Gorilla Garden.
Kid Natural Foods.
Farmers Market. The ongoing success of the movie Forks Over Knives, which is inspiring so many people to shift to a plant-based diet for their own health and the health of the planet.
Human-powered lawnmowers.
Power stations filled by human waste.
Rain gardens and permeable pavers.
Bike trails.
Hybrid cars.
Innovators who are making electricity with water, little else.
Alternative forms of energy. Awareness. Teaching our children sustainability.
Active environmental education.
Alternative energy.
I don't know more.
There are so many stories of hope, and we can't afford to be paralyzed by fear and despair. So let us find those stories and be a part of those stories. Hold them in our hearts, tell them to other people, and let them guide our way. Amen, and blessed be. We have gathered in dedication to the proposition that beneath all of our diversity, there lies a unity which binds us one to the other, to the earth and the stars. We've gathered in witness. Let us take our witness out into the world. Go in peace.